Buckle up! It's showtime!
I got something to say to you, boy. Just exactly what you're trying to pull here.
I'm not trying to pull anything.
Well, let me tell you something. You ain't fooling me for a minute. You think I don't see what you are? You're one of those smooth-talking, smart-ass niggas just out for all you can get with your black power and all that other troublemaker nonsense. And as long as you are anywhere around this house, I'm right here watching. You read me, boy? You bring any trouble in here and you just like to find out what black power really means.
Oh, we did it, folks. We did it. I have to admit there are some times when I didn't think we could do it, but we did it. Damn it. If we didn't do it, we did it. God damn it. We did it. We are there. We have arrived. Folks, we're not too far away. 50 days. 50. 50. We are 50 days away from our one-year anniversary. So this is just a precursor to that big anniversary show. I promise you, things are going to be amazing when we do that show. The show is going to be completely revamped. We have done a clear and settled working of the recent radio show. We've gotten our ground. We've gotten our feet planted into the ground. We understand where it is that we are and what it is that we're going to do. So today, what we're doing right now is we are setting groundwork towards Reese on the Radio going completely, completely over the edge. I want you to understand this, that Reese on the Radio is going places you have never, ever thought that it would go. And we've made some pretty good headway in the past year. Folks, let me just tell you this, okay? Before we are done with this, as an online radio show with very little promotion, we are hitting the 20,000 mark. Very little promotion. 20,000. That's a really, really big number. And the things that we have done here have been amazing. At least for somebody who is locked up in jail for 2.5 years. Oh, but I promise you, we are going to be doing amazing things. We've got 1 year under our belt, which is 50 days away from 1 year under our belt. But nonetheless, let's just get into it. It's our 200th show. It is our 200th show. And that's, you know, it's amazing because it's crazy enough when you do a once-a-week show. You know, you do a weekly program and a lot of work gets put into that. You know, you look at Family Guy, I believe they just celebrated a 200th episode. You know, you get these shows, and those things are milestones in their arena. There are some people who've been in the online game, they've been on it for a long time. This is a new venture for Reese on the Radio. So, you know, I'm taking stock in every milestone I reach. Because I can't take it for granted. You never know when something like this or anything else for that matter can be snatched right from your grasp and you can't do anything about it. Now, I'm not going to suggest that, oh, you know, what I did in the past was, you know, was greatness. Nah, it wasn't. It wasn't greatness. It was great for me. I mean, don't belittle what it is that I've done. You know, my TV appearances, you know, my mentions in the news, you know, my little snippets and stuff. I mean, I could plaque those things all over the wall. In a 10-year career, I've had what many would consider stellar. I've had a break that a lot of people in this business have never had. I mean, I'm quoted in the Daily News ripping on my favorite franchise of all time, Star Wars. I'm quoted in the Daily News for that. I'm quoted in the news about some of the biggest topics during an election season. You know, the Barack Obama rape speech. Sarah Palin and her daughter Bristol's pregnancy. I've done things that have ended up in the Gloucester pregnancy scandal. I was a part of all of that. I got notoriety in places you'd never, ever dream of. Even my arrest, for crying out loud. I made the cover of the Boston Herald. I promised you I would, and I did. So there are plenty of things. Plenty of things that I'm very, very proud of. But see, in this media, this is where the challenge happens. In this medium, in the online medium, the new media, this, if you can get your bones here, that's when you really know that you work from the ground up, because this is new. And if you can be a pioneer here, all the hell with it. Everywhere else, that's easy as pie. It's easy as pie. So what I'm here to tell you, the reason why we're celebrating 200 episodes today is because we were able to do it this long and consistently. And our goal is to make sure that we do that. And we're going to do it slowly but surely. And you're all going to join in and take that ride with us. I promise you, in the event that this show, and it will, gets bigger, it gets broader, the people who rode with me from the beginning and early on, you get top billing. Just like our good friend Gene Pinkham did when we were on WRKO. That man knew I wasn't from Boston, didn't know me from a hole in the ozone layer. He was the first person to take me on and say, I like this guy, and anything he wants to know about Boston, I'm going to make sure he's up on it so he doesn't look like a fool on the air, or he doesn't sound like a fool on the air. And I immediately brought him on the air, and I immediately put his name out there. Everybody knew who Gene Pinkham was. Guys like Freaky Mike. Doesn't return my phone calls, but what the hell, I still love him. Freaky Mike. Only reason why, I mean, if you don't remember, back in the days, Freaky Mike was a Vietnam veteran. He was in the Navy, and he told me this one story about how he went to Asia, and you can spend $5, $10 for a choke and a poke, and I had no idea what that terminology meant. But Freaky Mike said, you go there, and you get one of these Asian hookers, and you pay her $5, and you get a choke and a poke. You can figure out what it means. There's Jersey J from my WRKO thing. These are the people that I told them. The bottom line was, it was their show. That what they had to say was much more important than what I had to say, because it's a talk show. And the audience is what matters. And that's the reason why we have guys like Dennis the Mass Menace. The reason why we have White Mike. The reason why we have Sally D. The reason why we've got Edward in Connecticut, and we haven't figured out a nickname for him, but I like calling him Edward in Connecticut. The reason why we've been able to get new guys like Poverty Supreme on the air, all the way from the UK. We've had Sean Quali on the show, for crying out loud, from the new Black Panther Party. He's done more interviews with me than he's done with mainstream media. Oh, hell, we had that train wreck of a young lady and her new Liz Taylor movie's dad, Michael Lohan, on the show. And we've done that in 200 shows. Imagine what we're going to do now that we've got our feet up under us. Imagine what roads we are going to be able to plow in this new venture. And we've done it all by talking about politics and pop culture as promised. No subject has been off limits. JC, did I forget anybody on our new venture?
Joe.
Oh, that's right. Joe in Michigan.
Justin.
Oh, we can't forget Justin. Justin, yeah, who I brought
Justin.
Yeah, who else? Who did I forget?
Who?
I don't think I've forgotten anybody.
I don't think you've forgotten anybody.
Don't forget Matt over at the Daily Caller.
Yeah, Matt. Yep. Matt's been good to us.
And I still communicate on Twitter often. We've had him on the show. Of course, we've had Malcolm Out Loud.
Shannon's been a great help.
Who's that?
Shannon.
Who the hell is Shannon?
Emails.
Don't forget about Julie.
Oh, well, of course, Julie. Julie in Massachusetts, her husband Carmine. Yeah, Paula and Randall. But they don't call up on the show. I'm talking about people who contributed to the show.
Well, but they listen.
Well, they do. They do listen. That they do. Speaking of one of the people that we've made a staple on the show, Dennis the Mass Menace is on the line. Hello, Dennis.
Hello. How are you? Congratulations. We want to also remember Spencer from Michigan. Remember?
That's right. Spencer from Michigan, who hasn't called in a while. But it's great. You know, nonetheless.
What's the other guy? The guy in Jersey that has the show.
Oh, that's right. Oh, man. Money Mate.
Money
Mate.
No. The player guy.
Who's the player?
He called a couple of weeks ago. And you were like, no, I don't know who this is. And then you were like, oh, is this the player?
The player hater.
Yeah.
Player hater.
That's right. And we can't forget Donna Corleone, who's helped me build our audience here. She's been a help. Hey, even the Real Talk Blazers, for crying out loud. They get a little plug, too.
I was speaking of Shannon Rose.
Oh, Shannon Rose. That's right. And Shannon Rose, right? The folks over at the publicity company who have given us all of our guests who have been on the air, from Charles Markowski, who's been great on the show.
Okay, how do we do on the
I thought you were talking about Money Meeks, but we haven't heard from him in a while. I'd love him to call back.
We should know there are two breaking stories coming out.
Well, I'm going to get into them after I do the whole congratulations on our 200th show.
Okay, because your show wouldn't be your show unless we had breaking news.
What do you
and
got
it's not
so
a jiggaboo funny. Time.
Tell me whether or not I'm jumping into it now, or I'm going to save it for a little bit.
Well, two things. One might lead the United States into war, and the other one is a bit of popular culture.
Well, what's the popular culture news?
The closing of Twinkies.
That's definitely going to get discussed today. And you're talking about, of course, the war going on. Going on in Israel.
No,
it's our. No. I'm talking about the coming war with the United States versus China in the Atlantic.
Oh, yes, I read about that this morning.
Yeah, you're talking about the Chinese. They're going to be taking over an outpost.
Yes. In the Azores.
Just off the eastern seaboard.
That is
300 miles from New York City.
Not 300 miles, 2,500 miles.
2,300.
23.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 2,300 off of New York, out of New York City.
Yeah, so we're definitely going to get into each and every one of those stories. Speaking of the Twinkie situation, folks, I know a lot of people are upset about that. I promise you we will get into it. But tonight, folks, we're going to find out why Reese on the radio is happy that Twinkie is gone. And I know that you guys probably think this is bad because 18,000 people are losing their jobs, but I'm telling you, there is a good reason why Twinkie is leaving, and I'm happy about it, extremely ecstatic about it. Then we'll get into that, I promise you. We will get into that. But we're going to take a break shortly. Dennis, take a break. Go eat dinner if you haven't eaten dinner yet, because I know you eat dinner roughly about this time, maybe even a little bit later.
No, I had dinner with the dark meat at 4 a.m. this morning.
Okay, good enough. Okay, well, stick around. We are coming right back. We've got plenty of news, plenty of views. If you want to call in, the number is 347-308-8701 to say congratulations to us on our 200th show. Like I said, it is going to be a big, big coming year. Our 50 days away from our one-year anniversary. Just 50 days away.
Yes, we are.
And we'll talk about a couple of those things and what we've got coming up here. What it is that Mary and I will be doing that that are going to make this than I expected, or any of you would probably expect. But don't worry, we'll get understanding of that. I'm sorry. There's a microphone there. But we will bring each and every one of those things to you so that you can see them for yourself.
Sal, if you're listening, we hope that your son is feeling better. We
yeah.
know that he's feeling under the weather. So even if you don't get the chance to call in, we hope he feels better.
And we'll take a break now. We'll be back shortly after a couple of songs. And I don't know, I'd go say hello to my wife for a little bit. Is that all right? I'll talk to y'all later. Hey, here's an oldie but goodie. I love this song. I really, really love this song. I loved it back in the days. The Cult. I know you haven't heard this song in a long time. There's no rock stations anymore. Here's The Cult. She Sells Sanctuary right here on Reason the Radio.
love it. I love it. I L-O-V-E-I-T it.
Like this, I now hate to give me smiles, Kool-Aid wide and ass. And with the straightest face, I be like, hell yeah. Let them the bitches that pop a Prince Paul, so I don't go AWOL, but yet I know when they call, they get.
Hey, how you doing? Sorry you can't get through. Why don't you leave me at your number, and I'll get back to you. Hey, how are you doing? Sorry you can't get through. Why don't you leave your name and your number, and I'll get back to you. Check it out.
Back they force like Luca. Me, myself, and I go to this act daily. And rarely do I not. No matter how I dodge, some jackal always nails me. No matter what the plot. And even out on tour, they be like, yo, I gotta get to play you back at the hotel. I be like, oh, swell, unveil the numeric code that guides my room. And tell them to call me at noon. But of course, there's no answering machine in my room. But a pretty young adorn boy swung on tour. And if it rings while we're alone, she'll answer the phone. And with the business, she'll be back like a pole.
Done did the right thing, dollar. My ring ring, now you're waiting on the beat. Say, I would love if you sing a tune, the true, instead of fronting on the street. So no problemo, just play your demo. And at the end, it's breakout time. Please don't press rewind, cause I'll just lay it down the line. Hey, how you doing? Sorry you can't get through. Why don't you leave your name and your number, and I'll get back to you.
Hey, how you doing? Sorry you can't get through. Why don't you leave your name and your number, and we'll get back to you.
Reese on the radio, 24 minutes after the hour, right here on blogtalkradio.com. Of course, before that was The Cult, one of my favorite songs back when I was in my 20s. I promise you, I was not doing drugs then. I just liked the songs.
Hey, quick question.
Yeah.
Have you checked the reporting?
Have I checked what?
The reporting.
What reporting?
Our login here. The report.
What?
Oh, yes, I have checked our reporting. What about it?
Last time I looked, we were about 4,000 down.
You said we're 4,000 down?
We're just cracking 13. And I look at it today, not even like a few weeks, two, 3 weeks later, and we're about to hit 18.
Yeah, I was just about to say, dude, we're 50 days from hitting 20.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Dude, it's huge.
That's bananas.
It is huge. That's why I said in the opening of the show, is that, look, the bottom line is that the show is growing. We know that it's growing. That's the most important thing. And the doors are wide open beyond that. So,
trust me,
with a year under our belt, we as a solidified sort of radio show and a program, trust me, and again, considering the fact that it's alternative media, there are plenty of things that we'll be able to do. I will talk about this soon enough, but I've got to get into Benghazi.
Get into it.
I've got to get. You knew it was going to happen. Everyone was sitting around waiting for this, and finally it happened. Unfortunately, we have no audio of former general and former CIA director David Petraeus. But what we do have is reports from everyone. And
did Chambliss get on and talk about
it? No, he did not.
He said he was going to.
I know, but again, he was, you know, it's interesting.
Oh, no, he's supposed to be on O'Reilly.
He's going to be on Hannity. And Greta Van Susteren, and he's also going to be on some other programs tomorrow. Actually, he's going to be on Fox News Sunday with Chris Matthews. I mean, no, not Chris Matthews. Why am I saying Chris Matthews? Chris Wallace. My mistakes. Anyway, this is what Fox reported early afternoon, about General Petraeus's testimony. And here it is.
The former CIA director was pushed to explain why today he said he believed it was terrorism from the start when on September 14th, according to a senior Republican in the House, the director's emphasis was on the anti-Islam film.
His testimony today was that from the start, he told us that this was a terrorist attack, that there was terrorists involved from the start. I told him my questions, I have a different recollection of that.
One Democrat said that disagreements come down to a basic issue.
The more significant question was the element of planning and who was responsible. And that wasn't clear to what degree this was planned.
A congressional source familiar with this week's classified testimony tells Fox News that the language in the CIA talking points right after the attack was changed from al-Qaeda-affiliated individuals to extremist organizations, which some Republican lawmakers say had the effect of minimizing the role of terrorists in the consequent attack.
The initial talking points, which were put together in an unclassified format at the request of the House Intelligence Committee, initially did state that al-Qaeda-affiliated groups were involved. However, by the time we understand that went through its editing process after it left Langley, that reference was taken out.
Lawmakers say the CIA talking points went through an interagency review process, including the intelligence agencies as well as state and justice departments. The talking points were edited, but no one in the intelligence community, including Petraeus, could explain who was responsible for the final version. Senior Democrats insist Ambassador Rice, who appeared on 5 Sunday talk shows 5 days after the attack, was working from the approved unclassified memo and cannot be blamed for discrepancies because the intelligence was fluid.
She used the unclassified talking points that were signed off on by the entire intelligence community. So criticisms of her are completely unwarranted.
The leadership of the Senate Intelligence Committee disagreed over whether Ambassador Rice and the administration had politicized the CIA talking points.
She went beyond that, and she even mentioned that under the leadership of Barack Obama, we had decimated al-Qaeda. Well, she knew at that point in time that al-Qaeda was very likely responsible in part or in whole for the death of Ambassador Stevens.
I really think Ambassador Rice has been treated unfairly.
A congressional source tells Fox News that Ambassador Rice had access to the classified, unclassified
classified information, and that she could have easily found out that by September 14th, the FBI, based on interviews, had determined that there was no protest at the consulate before the attack.
So, folks, let me just give you just a breakdown, and if I'm sure you heard it, but I need to give you this breakdown, just because I'm what I'm doing here is not so much as analyzing the story as it is, I need to give you a breakdown of what the facts are. Now, the White House has already released a statement and said that the reason why UN Ambassador Susan Rice went on five Sunday programs at the behest of the White House and said that this was the result of a video was because the Al-Qaeda outfits that were involved in this, Anwar al-Sharia, was classified information. Now, I'm only telling you that because I'm only going to give my statements after the fact, so I want to give you what it is the White House is saying. Anwar al-Sharia was classified information. The White House did not want, and the intelligence community did not want to give that information to the American people as to what happened because it was classified. That is their statement as of tonight after General Petraeus' response. They've never said this, even though it's been known for a couple of weeks now that Anwar al-Sharia was responsible. Not one person has even bothered to say, hey, by the way, before he speaks, before you get his testimony, Susan Rice, the thing that everyone's been questioning, she was only giving classified information. They waited until after Petraeus gave his testimony to then respond by saying, look, she was giving unclassified information. We kept that classified from the American people. We've been asking for weeks, but now they're just telling us after Petraeus' testimony that she was only given unclassified information to give the American people. When she went on the Sunday talk show.
It wasn't that she was given unclassified information because they were keeping that classified. She was given the information to a cover-up. That's exactly what they were doing. You want to call it classified and she had unclassified. Now we're talking about classified and unclassified. No, let me tell you something. When four Americans are getting murdered or have been murdered due to a terrorist attack, that is not classified information to America. You must come out and tell the people the truth. Or you come out and say, listen, because of classified purposes, we don't have a statement at this time.
If I may, anybody remember what Hillary Clinton said when the reports came out that Anwar al-Sharia said on Facebook that they were responsible? Anybody remember what she said?
Yeah, she said that – she said something – I don't remember word
for
word.
No, you don't have to do verbatim.
She said,
paraphrase if you must.
You know, something to the effect of, well, you know, we can't believe everything that's on Facebook.
That's exactly what she said. It's not facts just because it's seen on
Facebook.
Facebook,
yeah. You know.
Right? When it was revealed that Anwar al-Sharia was a part of this. Just because it's on Facebook doesn't make it fact. When indeed it was. Were they still trying to keep it classified then? Even though evidence
they
was
already
out.
Knew.
Right.
That the, I
but
mean,
they
the
knew
American
from day
knew.
One, and it was out of their hands. So this is my point, what I'm trying to make here. Now, before I make that point, it's important that I do this. Let me play you NBC's version from what Fox did. You heard the Fox report. It's a long one. I apologize. But, folks, it's important that we get the facts, and Fox does that. They do a lengthy report, which is what the news media is supposed to do. By questioning the authority, by making sure that we're not being duped. But here's NBC's report. It's important that you listen to this.
Were these unclassified talking points that were put together by the CIA, a congressional source, told Fox News.
Oh, my apologies. Wrong one. Why am I getting the wrong one? Did I lose it? Please don't tell. Oh, here it is. Sorry. Here's NBC News.
Leaving home before dawn, David Petraeus' trip to Capitol Hill was carefully cloaked to keep the former spy chief out of public view, waiting cameras and reporters blocked by law enforcement to, quote, spare him media exposure.
I apologize, but You know, there's a lot of suffering going on.
During the top secret briefing held three floors below ground, lawmakers say Petraeus made clear that the CIA immediately believed that terrorists and not protesters were responsible for the deadly assault in Benghazi that killed Ambassador Chris Stevens and three other Americans. Today, a new explanation for why the White House had pointed to an anti-Muslim video when Susan Rice appeared on TV 5 days after the attack.
Our current assessment is that what happened in Benghazi was, in fact, initially a spontaneous reaction.
Both Democrats and Republicans said the CIA assessment of terrorism was classified, and that is why that was not included in the official talking points Rice was given.
Now, first of all, she's lying. She says in her NBC report that Republicans and Democrats agree that the information was classified. That's bullshit, folks. And I don't like to do a lot of cursing on the air, but when it merits it, I do. Listen to this broad again. Her words. Listen to this garbage that she is spewing to the American people on this news broadcast.
Reaction.
Democrats and Republicans said the CIA assessment of terrorism was classified. And that is why that was not included in the official talking points Rice was given.
And she did entirely the responsible thing in answering questions based on what was unclassified and agreed to by the entire intelligence community.
Early drafts of those talking points had included more details. Senior U.S. officials say a decision was made to keep the role of terrorists secret because of legitimate intelligence and legal issues.
The original talking points were much more specific about Al-Qaeda involvement. And yet, the final ones just said indications of extremists.
Petraeus, who arrived home after a long day, was among the officials who signed off on those talking points.
Now they're saying that Petraeus signed off on those talking points. He signed off on those talking points. That means he said it was a terrorist act. It went through the mill, through all of the organizations, came back to Petraeus and said, hey, listen, we're not saying that it was a terrorist attack, and Petraeus signed off on it.
They took out all that verbiage.
Yeah, yeah, but Petraeus signed off on it. That's according to her report. You've not heard that anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. NBC is the only place reporting that Petraeus signed off on. I'll admit, she's only partially right. Petraeus did sign off on it when he gave his September 14th testimony to this committee, where Peter King openly admits, I don't recollect you telling us on September 14th, that's what he told him today, I don't recall you telling us on September 14th that this was a terrorist attack. I don't recall it at all. But Petraeus stood firm and said, yes, I did. That's what I was trying to say. But everyone there knows that's not what you said. You attributed this to this video. So this reporter is partially right in saying that Petraeus signed off on it. I'm not going to use the term signed off on it. He towed the company line. That's what he did. Here's the rest of it.
But lawmakers say he did not explain exactly how or by whom the final decision was made. So Democrats defend Susan Rice, saying she was simply limited in what she could say publicly, even if the government knew more. Republicans, who have been so critical of her, say they believe she knew of the Al-Qaeda link and should have been more careful to avoid a false impression that a video was responsible.
Now, that's the part that makes me the angriest, folks. The White House is complicit in besmirching the character and the reputation of some stupid video maker. I don't care. First of all, if the guy made a video and it was awful, let the critics in the American public rip him apart for that, like they're doing Lindsay Lohan's Liz Taylor movie. But let the public rip him apart. In this country, he can put out a movie, and then we get to decide whether or not we see it or we don't. But this was a White House, and this was an administration on every level that targeted a scapegoat and used it and told the American people
it wasn't Al-Qaeda, because that's classified. But to do better, than that, they went and found this private citizen who made a video and made him the scapegoat for the deaths of four Americans, which makes this worse. Because in doing that, because they never had to mention it, they never had to promote this using $70,000 of taxpayers' money to put out a commercial in the Middle East denouncing this film, putting a bigger target on this filmmaker's back. They used him, and they used him, and they used him, and they used him, and they used him. And their excuse now is, it was classified. If it was classified, just tell the American people. We can't tell you who's responsible. We're still investigating, and the reason why we can't tell you is because we are going to find these people, and the less that they know, the better that we can pursue them. We've got our eye on them, and we know who's responsible. We'll let you know the minute that we have these people in custody, we're going to keep it under wraps. But no, what did they do? They did the Kansas City Shuffle. And I always get this wrong because I called it the Memphis Shuffle a couple of days ago. It's called the Kansas City Shuffle. When everybody's looking to the right, you look to the left. And that's when they snap your neck. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go see the movie called Lucky Number Slevin with Bruce Willis and Josh Hart.
Lucky Number Slevin?
Slevin. That's the name of the movie.
Slevin.
Yeah.
Not Seven.
Not Seven. Slevin. Go see the movie Lucky Number Slevin. It's got Morgan Freeman, Bruce Willis, Josh Hartnett. Go see that. Bruce Willis talks about that in the movie. It's called the Kansas City Shuffle. And that's what the White House pulled on the American people. When everyone's looking right, you look left. And in the scene in the movie, this gives you the perfect example. Bruce Willis is sitting in a wheelchair. He has the boy completely captivated in his story. And he points down to his right. He says, when everybody's looking right, and the boy looks to his right, he goes, you look left. The boy turns around and looks left. And Bruce Willis is no longer in the wheelchair. He's behind him, and he snaps his neck. And his final line is, the Kansas City Shuffle doesn't work without a body. By the way, look it up on YouTube. You'll see it. You'll see it. Just look up Kansas City Shuffle. You'll see it for yourself. And that's what we got pulled on us, folks, by the American people. Now, Dennis, I know you've seen all of this, man, because you follow this just like I do. What was your take from all of that? It doesn't matter because the White House is still culpable.
Well, I don't watch movies. Popular culture is not my thing. So I don't know what the hell you're talking about looking left and right. When people look left, to me, it's a political statement. But I did live through Watergate, and I can smell crap a mile away.
But Dennis, you agree with me, just like I said to
Yeah, I agree with you.
Well, I mean, what was the conversation I had with Frank Wuko the other day? You know, this really, really makes Nixon right. Watergate was nothing but a third-rate burglary in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was an all-out attempt to not just confuse the American people, but it was to give the President of the United States cover. This is his talking point. I mean, think about that. His talking point had been for months, Bin Laden's dead, GM is alive. He's on the stump speeches going, Al-Qaeda is decimated. Al-Qaeda is decimated. A big slap in the campaign's face where he couldn't run on it because he had no record. He had no record to run on. He couldn't say unemployment was down.
I wonder what he's going to say about today's cutbacks at Procter & Gamble.
Exactly. Look, the President of the United States during the election season could not say the deficit was down. He could not say that $16 trillion was the right direction. He couldn't say that unemployment was in the right direction. He couldn't say anything. The only thing
Maurice,
he had
what
going
do you say
on
to people who would say to you, look, the election's over, we lost, now we're going to move on? Now, I'm not saying that, but some people might be of that inclination.
No, it could be the same kind of people who might have been from McGovern in 72. No. Dennis, even if they say that, if there's one person out there who says this to you, you explain very simply to him, scandals are not about elections, and the presidency is barely about elections. The presidency is about their service to the people. And regardless of the knuckleheads who reelected him, and I say that, you know, as you can parse it any way you want to, I say that to take a stab at them. But the bottom line is, regardless of the people out there who reelected him, the bottom line is, a scandal is a scandal, a crime is a crime, and it must be dealt with. We don't automatically get to say because he was reelected, we don't scrutinize the President of the United States. And not everything that's done in this process is all about payback. This was an issue before the election, September 11th.
But wasn't Chris Matthews the one that said, how dare Mitt Romney deign to interrupt His Highness when he was speaking during the debate? You have that mentality with the press.
You know what? I got a better answer for you. How about this? I'll go one better for you. If you know better than anybody that when it comes to this BS, right? Chris Matthews is at the forefront of it, right?
Oh, absolutely.
He's at the forefront of this when it comes to this BS. If you remember before the election, Chris Matthews talked to a young man and had a conversation with him briefly about the Benghazi incident.
During the line, at the lineup.
On the line. Hold on.
On the roll.
Hey, Romney.
He doesn't cover up scandals in the Middle East.
What was the scandal that was covered up?
Benghazi.
What was the scandal?
Well, I mean,
Nail it. What was the scandal?
You said there was a video. It's not about the video.
Yeah, it was about the video. Read the newspaper. Thank you. Everybody knows it's about the video. It's all about the video. Thank you very much. We're right back with more Hardball.
Everybody knows it's about the video. Well, what does Chris say now? Everybody knows it's about the video. That was Chris Matthews.
I'll tell you where it's going to go.
It's about the video.
It's going to go down the memory hole. Do you know what I'm talking about when I say that term?
I think that everybody should call them on it. I think that everybody should say to Chris Matthews, I thought everybody knew it was about the video. Now, here's Petraeus, and the President of the United States, his White House, is now saying it was never about the video. And if the White House is saying right now in its official report, okay, that it had nothing to do with the video, and we sent her out there to mislead the American people because Al-Qaeda operatives and Anwar al-Sharia was confidential information. That means that the White House has just openly admitted we misled the American people because the information was classified. Instead of just saying it was classified and we've got no comment, they went out there and said that this was spontaneous, which it wasn't. That's a lie. Saying that it started because of this video, which was a lie.
But this administration has never had anyone bring them up on it. During Nixon, the press was anti-Nixon. They hated Nixon. The press is culpable with Obama. That's the difference.
Understood that they're culpable, Dennis, but the bottom line is that they right now, the bottom line is that if the White House wants to make an argument about anything, they want to make the argument about anything, they've got to answer the question, okay? If the information that they gave was – if the information they wouldn't give was classified, why did they blame the video? Why did they say that it was spontaneous? Because they don't have to say it's spontaneous, but they do. They don't have
okay,
to say.
Okay, fast forward 6 months from now. Where do you think this is going to be?
The president
compared
of the United
to States 6 months post-Watergate.
Listen to me. The president of the United States will speak in front of the House committee. Any amount of money. A select committee will have to take place. It'll have to. If they skate over this, if this guy dodges it, I'll be stunned. I'm telling you it's not going to happen. Because now, the fact that they responded to it, and that's what this White House does. They're reactionary. Right now, they said, okay, we admit it. We fess up. We had Susan Rice go out there and talk about unclassified information. But guess what wasn't unclassified? Okay? Unclassified information was?
The question is, why are they responding? Is it because the Republican Party still has control of the House?
No. Because
okay.
They know that the media is covering this story. And by covering this story, they have to do something. They have to respond. They're not going to put anybody out there. They're going, yeah, you're right. Susan Rice, she's the foil here. We told her to go out there and say that it was spontaneous, but it's because the other information is classified. Now they're
all right, then you've been in the media around the track, all right?
Again?
The question is, where do you think the breaking point will be for the media and Obama? What do you think will be the straw that breaks the camel's back with them to finally saying, hey, we've covered for you enough, this is it?
Someone else is going to leak more information that can't be denied. That's what's going to happen. Someone else is going to leak a little bit of information before that happens. Trust me when I tell you it's going to happen.
And what do you think that information could be? Speculation, of course, because we are
based
in no way knowing.
Based upon sheer speculation, we still got hearings tomorrow. No, we don't have hearings tomorrow. I apologize. We've still got hearings on Monday. And the question's going to be on Monday. After all the weekend stories sort of filter out, we've still got hearings on Monday. It's not over.
So you feel that the determinant is going to be the media to push the Congress and not the Congress that's pushing the media?
The Senate hearings won't be all that, because you notice today the Senate hearings got no press. The only thing that got pressed today was the House meetings. That was the only people that got any press today because Petraeus was there. Nobody cared about the other, because no other information came from that. But trust me when I tell you, there's going to be more. And Monday, if not Tuesday, something's going to drop. In fact,
I know that when you're on the Hill, nothing is secret, no matter how many times you go to a closed-door hearing. It's like a sieve.
You're damn right. Sunday will be that day. JC, what do you want
to
say?
You know, I was going to say to Dennis, I think that point's going to be, Dennis, when the world is satisfied, when the world is satisfied with the answer that's given as to why would you lie to me, and that is, why would you lie to me to protect me? You know what I mean by that?
Yeah. I wonder if anyone will ever bring out
this
that
is
Jimmy
classified.
Carter's
you
quote.
Shouldn't know anything about this, and we can't talk about this, but we lied to you to protect you.
Yeah. But
and
geez,
that
I wonder,
just doesn't fly. Now,
you
that's
guys
why soap opera,
don't remember Jimmy Carter. You're too young
not
for
US
all that.
Politics.
God, don't go nuts. I was born in 69, not 79. Well,
yeah, but when Jimmy Carter, remember he said before he ran, I'll never lie to you.
That's right.
And wait till you get the comparisons between formerly the nation's worst president and this one.
Well, we'll get him in 2016.
Trust
you
me,
know, just
this
sit back
over.
And relax. It's too bad the nation's suffering, but we warned you. We told you so.
Everybody warned himself.
We told you 4 years ago.
So, Dennis, what are you doing to get prepared?
I'm going to be listening to Reese on the radio.
That's right, damn it.
I mean, are you doing, have you done, have you done, have you No, and
sounds like a freight train is coming through the speed. What was that, Mary?
Have you done any of the things that White Mike has done, like amped up on canned goods and bottled water and first aid kits, maybe some...
No, I don't worry about these things.
Some weaponry.
I'm Catholic. I mean, you know,
no,
what do you want to do, live forever? I trust
hey, you
Christ.
Know what?
Let him
hey,
worry about it.
I look at that poor guy who took his own life after Obama got reelected. You know, that's, you know.
Yeah, he took it before the Twinkies. He could have taken a couple of Twinkies with him, but, you know, it's too late now.
We'll get into the Twinkies.
What
thing
would
at
be
the top
Reese
of the hour?
On the radio show without this sharp commentary, with all this snide remarks?
We're going to take a break, Dennis, before we go to the top of the hour. Stick around. We'll be right back. It's Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
I see some black people looking at me, man. It ain't us, it's the media. It ain't us, it's the media. The media has distorted our image to make us look bad. Why must you come down on us like that, brother? It ain't us, it's the media. Please cut the fucking dish, okay? 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 When I go to the money machine tonight, all right? I ain't looking over my back for the media. I'm looking for niggas, bitch. Ted Koppel ain't never took this shit from me. Niggas have. So you think I got three guns in my house because the media outside? Oh, it's Mike Wallace. Run!
It is 1 minute after the hour right here on Reese on the Radio. November 16, 2012, our 200th show. I'm just playing a little bit of my favorite tunes. That was, by the way, Steely Dan, a song called Peg. I don't know if a lot of...
That sounded a lot like the theme to Different Strokes.
No, actually, it's interesting because I was asking Mary. I was like, Mary, can you name the rap group that sampled that song from Steely Dan? And she was like, I don't know. She was bobbing to it because it's a catchy song. One of Steely Dan's great songs. And she couldn't figure it out. So I told her who the group was. And she couldn't figure it out. She was like, oh, I wasn't really a fan of theirs. But De La Soul's first album.
Not that I wasn't a fan. I just wasn't so, like.
You weren't really into
them. I wasn't all like.
It'd be weird to like them.
She wasn't like collecting their albums.
Yeah, she didn't collect their albums.
I didn't follow them.
De La Soul's debut album, 3 Feet High and Rising, has a song called I Know that sampled Steely Dan. Back when no other groups were sampling groups like Steely Dan, and that is a sample from their song I Know I Love You Better, and this was Peg, if you will, from Steely Dan. It's one of my favorite songs. I always liked the original before De La Soul even did it.
Well, you gotta be weird to like De La Soul, period.
I guess so.
I like them. I just would not be as familiar with their work as you would, because I didn't follow them that way.
Yeah, they're
ask me what you would like about Mary J. Blige, and I will tell you.
They are my favorite.
You know, ask me what you would like about Madonna back, you know, when she was somebody, and I would tell you, you know.
De La Soul is my favorite group of all time.
Lisa Cold Jam.
I know them too. No, De La Soul is my favorite rap group of all time. They're my favorite. Tribe Called Quest used to be, and then Q-Tip did something offensive to us back in 2001, and then I'll talk to you about that later. But anyway. But yeah, De La Soul is my favorite group, so a lot of the samples that they used were bands that I already loved when I was a kid. So, anyway, I need to get into this. It's important, folks. So before I let anybody in, I want you to hear this, okay? I want you to pay attention to this, folks. Do not cry for Twinkies. Get over it.
Do not cry. Here comes your mother with those two little guys.
Let the Twinkie go.
Well, the Twinkie has already gone.
You gonna let me do my monologue?
No. The Twinkie has already gone. Nobody's eating the Twinkie anymore because, well, those of us that remember the Twinkie for what it used to be, I haven't had a Twinkie in a very long time. And any time that I feel like I want to have a Twinkie, I might indulge myself and have one, and I'm so disappointed because they haven't been the same. There's not enough cream in them anymore. Just like Dunkin' Donuts.
Now, I need to explain why it is that I said that it's a good thing the Twinkie's gone. Don't you want to know?
No, because they're taking Ding Dongs with them, and
I don't
really
care.
Like
Ding Dongs too. But
Funny
the Twinkie
Bones.
Is the
oh well, that's Drake.
Twinkies is the Twinkies are the benchmark of Hostess, with the exception of one. Let me tell you why you have to let it go, ladies and gentlemen. You must let Twinkies and Wonder Bread and Ding Dongs and all that other stuff, let them go. You have to let them go.
some 2,800 people are going to lose their
jobs. I don't care. Let them lose their jobs. This is a good thing for the country, folks. I want you to understand.
This is exactly what Michelle Obama wanted.
No, no, no. Forget about her. I'm telling you, folks. Now, listen, I'm going to put this into perspective. I want you to hear what it is that I'm saying. And you guys, Dennis, Sal, you guys know what it is I'm about to say. Gene Pinkham, you guys know what I'm talking about here. And you're going to understand exactly where it is that I'm coming from.
And I hope you all can explain to me later, because
okay.
I don't know where.
No,
he's
no, no.
Going.
You're going to know what I'm talking about. Go to your old neighborhoods, all of you. Go to the neighborhoods of your childhood. Go to your neighborhoods. Go to the places where you used to hang out. You know, the places where you used to run around. You know what I'm saying? Your stomping grounds, if you will. Go there. Have they changed? Did they put up a frickin' mini mall? Did it destroy the fabric of what was there? What made it real? What made it substantial? What made it pure? They're gone now. And how did it make you feel? Made you feel like hell, right? It made you angry. Well, that's what this new generation needs. This new generation needs to suffer what it is that we suffered when we became adults and realized what was important in our lives. No, no, no. I'm not saying the Twinkie is. But those fabrics of life that made life worth living in a huger way than just things as simple as a ding-dong. You get my point here. I'm not saying that the Twinkies represent something bigger than what it was, but we're talking about an established company, a fabric of our lives. No matter how trivial, they are fabrics of our lives. Wonder Bread is about to be no more. The Twinkie is about to be no more.
There's a Hostess. There's a Hostess place right there by your mom's house.
Yeah, exactly.
That's about to close.
It's about to close down. That Hostess place has been there since I was in my early, well, maybe late teens.
Probably
it's about to close down.
It's been there.
We used to smell that bread every day. It was that fabric of our lives, and it's gone to hell. And the people who had those jobs there, those 18,000 people who their jobs are now gone, this is a fabric of their life that has been completely destroyed. And the people today need to see a staple like Hostess go to crap.
Well,
and they've got let me finish. They've got to see it for themselves. They've got to watch a colossal collapse in the fabric of their lives to realize it just got deep. It just got deep because it wasn't what it was in the beginning. And I don't care what anybody thinks. Hostess wasn't Hostess for years because the union came in. And the unions came in.
And
they took this and got greedy, and they took this company over. Over 250 bargaining agreements that they had at this company. They destroyed it. They shut it down. They came in there like locusts, and they ripped it apart. Now, I know people are looking at this for the tragedy that it is, but I'm telling you, just like this election, we must be able to take this loss and learn from it and turn it into something brilliant. Let these idiots see the truth. See it for what it is. Let them see the socialists. Let them see the status. Let them see the demise of the American dream. A company that's been around forever.
Everywhere
is now
you go,
gone.
You see those Hostess trucks
going
by.
But it's gone now. Let them see it. Don't let them turn away. Don't let them say, oh, big deal, companies close down every day. This is Hostess, folks. Let people see the same thing that they saw when the towers went down. Lives ruined.
something that they woke up to every day and they took for granted. And when they were gone, people said, holy crap, it ain't there anymore. They need to see it. Even if everything that they see in their lives, they have to wake up every day and see another thing that is a fabric of their lives be completely diminished. Twinkies going out of business is a good thing if you take advantage of it. I'm a curmudgeon, folks. I love adversity. I live for it. I wouldn't have a career if not. And this is an opportunity.
Well, everything is an opportunity if you take advantage
of it. I don't give a damn that 18,000 people lost their jobs. But you know what they're saying now when they're sitting home with no paycheck? They're realizing.
That, you know, 4% that wouldn't effing, have been so, that wouldn't have been so bad.
Exactly. That effing union. No, they screwed us. And ain't no jobs out there for us. They didn't have our best interest at heart. And we're screwed. And my kids can't eat. I can't pay no bills. You guys didn't do anything for me. You said you were fighting for me, but now the place is closed. You did nothing.
What about the poor? What about the poor schleps? Excuse me, that had stayed working, because the only reason they shut down was because they had that strike. There were only a certain amount of people that were striking, and because of those people, all of the other people that chose to stay and work now lost their jobs. Like those idiots that stayed to strike because they were going to lose 5% or something, you know, in
8% overall, but then eventually 4%.
They would make that up in the next 5 years or
right,
whatever.
Right.
So would you rather have taken a cut and have something still coming in, or in this economy, the way the economy is going right now, how unstable the whole country is?
They chose
on every
nothing.
Level. You chose nothing over something.
That's exactly it.
And you and all of those people, that group of people that decided to stay out on a walkout, just made decisions for every other person that had already decided, no, I'm staying and I'm working because I say I can handle that. I can handle an 8% cut
right.
versus 100%
right. cut. Right, exactly. But the bottom line was the union won, and it's over, and it's a good thing.
It's just unbelievable that amount of people, that small group of people that stayed protesting and stayed out were able to make decisions for the entire
everybody else. That's
company.
Right. That's called a socialist country. Again,
it's ridiculous.
I'm so happy that it happened. It needed to happen.
Along with all the other companies that are already making cutbacks, Kaiser is one. Stryker is another.
Yeah.
There was a whole list. I can't even remember all of
them. I couldn't remember half of them.
Oh, Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Yeah, it's a mess.
There are companies everywhere cutting back, laying people off because this moron was reelected. Huh? Okay, let's go to the phone.
The number is 347-308. 8701. Let's bring in our guys. Sally B is on the line with us, along with White Mike. We'll pull you in a second. Sal, how are you today, sir?
Doing well, Reese. You nailed it. I'm going to tell you something else. When this company was heading into bankruptcy, the CEO gave himself a raise from $750,000 to $2.5 million.
Look at
two
that.
Other CEOs went from roughly $300,000 to like roughly like $800,000. While they were in bankruptcy court, there's a list of guys. There's about 10 or 12 of them. Every single one of their salaries went up over $100,000 during the bankruptcy proceedings.
We talked about the bankruptcy. They were thinking about going into bankruptcy or starting the proceedings almost a year ago.
Yeah.
And so,
because
we talked about that on air. This company was doomed to fail, and when the unions don't budge, let this happen, because it's a lesson that perhaps people will learn that the unions aren't their buddies and they have to think twice about it. It's really unfortunate for the person who has no skills, who's worked there for 20-something years. That's the really sad part about this. But, you know, there are going to be a lot of sad stories. And if some good can come out of it, then so be it.
I guarantee you, I guarantee you some horrific stuff is going
to
come out of it. I guarantee you
somebody
gets killed.
But we need, no, I don't
somebody's
going to
get killed. I'm not saying I want somebody to get killed, but I think that somebody's going to lose their shit. One of those workers that had been working there forever and decided we're not walking out because we need our jobs, goddammit. I have mouths to feed. I have kids to feed. I have a wife to feed.
Yeah.
I'm almost ready for retirement. And that group of people that stayed out and made everybody else lose their job, somebody in that other group on the other side is going to say, we've had enough.
Yeah, exactly.
You son of a bitch. There is going to be some type of retribution. I think it will be either a loss of life, some type of violence. There will be something.
All you need is one unstable knucklehead.
I mean, people are already killing themselves and running people over in SUVs. They're pregnant and running their husband over because he voted for frickin' Barack Obama. Come on, the world has gone mad.
I think that's a little extreme. White
mind! It's not extreme, it's the facts, it's happening. People are killing themselves. I mean,
let's go to White Mike.
Well, hey, first of all, congratulations on hitting the double century mark.
Thank you, sir.
And hold on, wait, I have to inject my insulin to recover from the treacly sweet babblings you guys have on Facebook. Jesus.
Oh, please don't mention that. I'm chilling.
Whatever.
Got the diabetes like Wilford Brimley over here. But, Sally's right, of course. The thing with Hostess is it's not owned by Hostess. It's owned by a venture capital group, like a Bain Capital.
Right.
So they've been, just like Sally said, they've been giving themselves massive pay increases. And their CEOs are not actual CEOs like a Bill Gates. They're right. Mitt Romney's. So these guys are sucking money out of there once they knew it was going in a tank. But the problem is multifold. The problem is, the CEOs and the venture capital guys sucking money out. The problem is the union, who was a very small percentage of the company, staging their walkout. And there were some reports I've read that workers were facing cuts to go from $40,000 a year to $25,000 a year, which is pretty substantial.
Now, that's huge.
But I also think that Hostess is probably a victim of changing dietary habits. I mean, they make a lot of really crappy food, and the growth market in baked goods is in healthier stuff. Yeah, there's the Twinkie market and all that, but as far as breads, a lot of people, buy more rustic kind of whole grain stuff. I mean, there's a backlash against white bread. I haven't bought Wonder Bread in 30 years. I don't eat white bread.
You got these gluten-free people, this anti-obesity, frontier by Michelle Obama.
I like bread that tastes like something. I eat whole grain bread or multigrain bread or bread with seeds and nuts in it and stuff, and they did not keep up with the times.
You're right about
that. What's going to happen, sadly, is they're going to be bought out. I mean, Hostess products are going to remain on the market. Somebody's going to buy this company's assets and recipes. And my guess as to who does it is going to be Bimbo Bakery out of Mexico.
Really?
Bimbo is huge. They're a large bakery group. They're going to buy them out. So this company is going to be owned by foreign business interests.
Somebody said that Mitt Romney should buy Hostess.
Well, somebody is going to buy them out, so everything won't go away. But
oh, come on, you're selling Twinkies on eBay for $100 a box.
Who the hell is? Get the fuck out of here.
I'm serious.
Kidding me?
You with the F?
Dude, I bought eight boxes. I bought eight boxes today. I'm gonna put them on eBay. My local grocery store had 2-for-1 boxes of Twinkies.
Come on, don't really. Are you serious?
Hey, hell yeah. If idiots are willing to pay it, I'll do it. Why not?
Shit, I'm going to the today was payday. We're going to the grocery store tomorrow, Negro.
No, they're not going to be there anymore. Everyone's
yes, they will. No, they're there. I saw them today.
People are buying.
They're gonna push out their existing stock, and then there's going to be no more for a while. I will, however, miss the Hostess fruit pies. just because they're the superior fried fruit pie on the market.
White Mike, a man after my own heart. I live for those pies, man.
Oh, they're the best. I mean, Intamin's makes some, but Intamin's are not as good. They don't have the thick coating of sugar all over them like Hostess does.
All over the pocket of the pie.
In my 40-plus years alive, I can count on two hands how many times I had a McDonald's apple pie. Maybe even one hand. I could not tell you how many times I've had a Hostess fruit pie.
Well, you know, the McDonald's pie used to be good. When I worked at McDonald's back in the 80s, they were a deep-fried pie, and they were awesome. But they had to reformulate, one, because they were inedible when you got them because the filling was 500 degrees or something, and two, because McDonald's tried to get healthier. So now they're a baked apple pie, and they're not as good. They suck.
Favorite story ever. I'm in the car with Derek the Bounty Hunter. I've told this story before. We drive into a McDonald's drive-thru. We order our food, and the person behind the microphone says, "Would you like an apple pie with that?" I responded, "Did I ask for an apple pie?" And Derek got so angry and said, "Yo, man, don't do that, man. They go spitting our food." I'm like, what?
Oh, man, that's the upsell. Oh, yeah, I sold a crap load of apple pies to fat people when I was working there.
Wow, Mike, that's so fucked up.
If some fat manatee waddled up and ordered his, you know, Big Mac and Diet Coke, I was like, "How about an apple pie?" And all the time, man, they jumped on it.
You can get two for a dollar.
It's just sad, man. 18,500 people are out of work in a depression. And like Mary said, how would you like to be a 50-year-old delivery driver who just got put out of work? I mean, what are you going to do? Nobody's going to hire a 50-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. That's
the worst
part.
How would you like to be a 62-year-old? You know?
Yeah, they're screwed. They're screwed.
Oh, thank you.
And
they're working I'm 62.
For 40 years.
It's going to
return.
That
would be my godmother.
They'll return, but, you know, how long it's going to take, who knows? And it's going to be really sad when those assets are bought out by foreign companies.
Let's bring in Edward. Hello, Edward.
Hey, how's it going, Reese?
Pretty good, man.
No, I was going to say, my godmother is that 62-year-old that works at the bakery in New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
That is losing
now,
her job.
Works at the Hostess Bakery in New Jersey?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yep, she lives in Newark.
Yeah, Hostess owns Merida also. And there's a Merida distributorship near me, and those people are going to be out of work in my small town, which already has 15% unemployment.
Goodness gracious. It's going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess.
Hopefully traffic will lighten up, though.
Well, we're also having the fiscal cliff, and that's not going to help things, so.
And this is the beginning. I mean,
again,
you've seen what's happening with Papa John's and Applebee's and Denny's, right?
Yeah.
Well, at Papa John's, Applebee's, Denny's, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Kaiser Permanente, Riker Corporation.
And not only that, but you know what?
That are about to start making cuts.
Forget about the cuts. Let's just deal with not just the cuts, the fact that they're taking not only cuts, they're going on a double pronged sort of effect on this, guys, that I find even more amazing. I'm not angry at them. I'm not angry at Papa John's or at Denny's or any of these. Here's the part that I find that's so amazing about this, is that this Obamacare and everything that's happening right now with the unions, what I find even more amazing about this Obamacare thing, not only have they decided to cut their employees' hours, but then they're still charging their customers an extra 5%. So they're getting it from back to the front end in order to make sure that they survive as a company. If that doesn't alarm us as American people, I don't know what could.
How about this? Try this one on for size. You think that's a problem with Denny's and these restaurants and shit? How about this? Kaiser Permanente is one of the biggest health carrier organizations in this country, okay? They are everywhere. They have been opening up offices everywhere. Blue Cross Blue Shield is the, if not the biggest insurance company in the country and probably in the world.
So now how is Blue Cross Blue Shield going to have cuts when they're going to make a big profit when Obamacare goes through?
Well, wait. This is the thing, Mike. This is what I'm about to... Even and Aetna was on that list as well, which Aetna is, again, you know, running neck and neck with Blue Cross Blue Shield. So all of the... There was $19 billion stimulus money put aside for all of these companies to turn their facilities and their insurance companies in a 180-degree,
make them all electronic, right?
Everybody had to have electronic medical records. Every single doctor was able to put in an application to get at least $64,000 in stimulus money to turn their facilities into electronic medical records. They have all taken advantage of that stimulus money. They've all gotten they're still getting they get a stipend. You don't get it all at once.
Right,
you get you get an annual stipend. So you've already started getting your annual stipend. And you'll continue to get that annual stipend at least for the next 3 or 4 years, depending on when you put in your application. So you've taken advantage of all of that. You've turned your stuff into whatever, you've turned your offices, your whatever, you've gone electronic with everything. And now you're starting to cut employees. So you've taken the government's money that they've given you, that they cut out of Medicare to put into this stimulus package. You've taken advantage of that, and you're still going to start firing people. What the hell is going on?
Well, and not just that, but they're going to be the beneficiaries of Obamacare. Because people seem to think that Obamacare is going to be England-style socialized medicine, and it's not. It's forcing you to buy insurance from existing insurance companies. Who wrote the damn law in the first place?
So, Mike, one of the things, and my wife works in one of the major hospitals in Boston, and one of the things that's happening is, yeah, sure, they're bolstering nursing staff and the actual caregivers on the floor, but they're cutting way back on almost every other area that's not directly related to patient care. I don't know the reasons for that. I would assume they would be doing well as well, but there seems to be a lot of that going on.
Reese.
Yes, go ahead, Dennis.
Well, first of all, I want to give my condolences or best wishes to Sal on what he posted on Facebook for the family.
Thanks, Dennis. We'll be fine. Thank you very much.
And the other thing, too, everyone's talking about health care and Twinkies. I don't know if anyone's mentioned about Wake Forest Baptist Medical Center.
That's
They've
right.
announced they will eliminate 950 full-time positions to be eliminated by 30 June. And we don't like NBC, but they took off 500 jobs, and I wonder if they gave them an Obama coffee cup as a giving away gift.
It's interesting you mentioned that, because that church and NBC didn't make the list, but that church group did. They made the list that we watched the other day. They're on that list. And again,
and there's more firings too. Procter and Gamble.
There were a slew of other companies. I can't recall them all.
AMD, the chip maker, took 15% of their workers in October. They just announced another round today. It happened in January. And you know what'll get the kids? GameStop is now closing 200 stores. So all you kids who voted for Barry, you got what you deserved.
GameStop is in the same family, the same problem with Blockbuster. The actual physical media delivery of games is going to go. They're done. Nobody's going to buy games. Games are all going to be downloaded and streamed just like videos.
Which means you're not going to have the traditional block and cinder buildings.
Oh, no,
that hire people and also pay property taxes, which means everybody's taxes are going up. Thank you, but that's progress.
That's technology. There are no brick and mortar video stores in my county. They're all gone.
And technology, unfortunately, I love technology. Don't get me wrong. I use it every day. If we didn't have it, God, I don't even know how I would survive. I did work for a doctor's office at one point where we were, like, doing everything on ledgers with these long – I mean, everything was by hand. It drove me insane. I love the technology, and I'm thankful for it. However, I think that it has dumbed our society down, which is ridiculous because you could – You have all of this information at your fingertips, and nobody's even using it for the greater good. You know,
Harry's right.
When's
the last time you actually went and rented a video?
Well, actually,
when was the last time anybody ever went into a library?
Well,
I go to the library all the time.
You know what?
You don't have to rent videos anymore. That's
you're an adult.
Technology.
You can go to the library, and if you have a library card, you can get movies. You can, you know, rent movies from them.
Right.
And it's, you know, you don't pay for them. They're free. You don't
right.
pay for
but
them.
But Mary and I still go, we go to the Redbox.
Yeah, I don't go.
See, that's the thing. Redbox has killed off the brick-and-mortar video store.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But I'll be honest with you. I hate the Redbox idea because you don't get a wide variety of movies on the Red Box, and you get a smaller amount. Like if you want to see one of them new blockbusters that just came out on video, it's a very limited amount that you can get. It's a lot less than you would get at a video store.
Well, but
you
have
to stream it on
further.
With Red Box,
one step further.
At least that is still, it's a tangible thing that you
sure.
can, it's tangible. You can go to it, you can look at it, you can touch it, you can do all that. So somebody has to come out and service those machines.
Right.
Yeah, but
somebody
Mary,
has
we're forgetting
to get
something.
To have those machines on their property. It is still making some type of, more revenue than it would be just downloading things online. I don't. It's almost like we don't even have to leave our homes anymore.
Yeah.
If I wanted to get groceries delivered to my house, I could have my local Giant deliver groceries to me. At any time, even CVS. I mean, I can do anything online. I would never, ever have to leave my house. I can work from home. I can almost virtually go to the doctor from home at this point. Kaiser has seriously implemented some serious technology, man.
Mary, are you forgetting something?
What's that?
If GameStop is closing 200 stores, again, where do the kids from high school go for part-time jobs and summer jobs?
But you know what? But that was my point I was making about Twinkies is about, look, we need these kids to see stuff that is valuable to them, as trivial as it may be. See, because remember.
That's exactly the point.
But,
now
we're
going to hit home to them with GameStop and not being able to be employed, and you can't get your fried Twinkie.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but the things that were important to us that we lost were a lot more substantial than what the kids are losing today. And when they lose these little stupid little things, these silly trivial things that we always make fun of them about, but they consider big things, when they start to lose those little insignificant things that they put at the top of the world, when they start to see that, then what are they forced to do? They have to recognize what's taking place. I got to take
Didn't
a break,
you say
guys.
That the other day?
What's that?
Didn't you say that the other day? That
exactly.
kids are in their own world, and only when it affects them personally do they wake up.
And we've got to find a way to reach them. I'm going to take a break briefly. When we come back, we have got to, and I know we are, because Israel and Gaza, they're on fire. And because Mike's
and
here.
And China, we got to talk about
that. We'll talk about China briefly because there's nothing
going on as of yet.
But Gaza
be.
And Israel going off, and Mike is here. You know I want to talk about that. So when we get back, we'll get into that. This is a perfect song for what's going on between Gaza and Hamas and Israel. This is Company Thieves. The song is called Pressure. Right here on Reason Radio. We'll be back.
How you fashion kind when you're out of at the bus stop in the morning, and it's pouring. I am waiting at the bus stop for you.
Company of Thieves right here on Reese on the Radio. It's 38 minutes after the hour. It's important that we talk about what's happening right now between Hamas, Hezbollah. We might as well call it Hezbollah. Hezbollah, of course, started firing some 150 missiles into Israel. So far, it's been hit. Has been right now, recently, is areas near Tel Aviv and also in Jerusalem. Although the press, for some odd reason, and a couple of news outlets that I'm listening to, they refuse to even suggest that just days after the election are when these strikes happen from Gaza into Israel. They're more or less focusing on Israel's response to these missile firings. And that baffled the hell out of me. But then again, you know what it is. That's mainstream media trying to find Israel in some sort of way culpable of this.
Maybe they should be talking about why President Obama has never even been to Israel.
Well, I understand that actually today that President Obama and Benjamin Netanyahu have been on the phone, and Obama was trying to get Netanyahu in some way to sort of descale, I guess the word they used, or just try to tone it down a bit before they started talking about sending some 16,000 troops into the Gaza Strip.
Three Israeli citizens have been killed.
No, there have been more killed in Gaza. Not that I'm
exactly. There have been. There have been 25 or 28 people died.
Palestinians who have died.
Have died because of all of this.
Now, I'm going to go to Mike here first for this, because Mike has been very, very strong in his opposition to Israel in a lot of ways. So I want to get his take on this. Not, I haven't officially taken any sides, but I will say this. The fact that these missiles have been coming out of Gaza and been firing on Israel, and they were the ones who eventually started this. That's the bottom line. They did. They started this, and Israel has responded. I want to hear his take on this, and then we'll take the other guys if they have some opinions on it. But Mike, where do you stand on this so far?
Well, first of all, man, you're not really going to try to convince me that the media is anti-Israeli.
I'm not going to try to convince you.
Dude,
I saw the reports.
I have seen the credits on the evening news, and I know who owns the major media networks. They're not Arabs.
Whoa. But, Mike, hold
on. Relax.
Wait, Mike, before you go any further, hold on. Hear me out, Mike. Bottom line is, if you were to talk to any one of those quote-unquote Jews that run the news networks, producers, line producers, whatever it is that they are, what do they believe about Israel? Those people are Palestinian sympathizers, most of them.
Well, tell you what, you find me a representation in the media that is a negative stereotype of Israelis or Jews, and I'll concede your point.
Okay, I will. Because if you were to watch...
Not.
If you were to watch any of these producers, right, any of these news commentators who are in the region, they have found every reason. I mean, come on, Christian Amanpour, who has been an open advocate for Hezbollah anti-Israeli extremist. You will find it right there on ABC News. She is their chief correspondent in the region.
Well, I'll tell you what, when Bob Simon gives such a report, you got a point.
Well, I won't say that about Bob Simon, but that's just one person.
Okay. I think the media is torn right now because Obama's their boy. They're committed to Obama. But the media are also overwhelming Zionists. There's no doubt about it. And personally, I don't care. If all those crazy fairy tale believing savages want to kill each other off, let them scrap it out. I don't care. I don't think we should get involved in it at all.
Well, that's not going to happen. That's a given. The United States, in no way, I'm positive of it. Okay, we've got a president that would sooner
get somewhat involved in getting rid of Mubarak and Gaddafi before it would get involved in helping or in any way ensuring the sovereignty of Israel.
Well, we'll see, though. We'll see, because there's no denying the power that lobby has in Washington. There's no denying that AIPAC is super powerful. So we'll see. You know, when the rubber meets the road, we'll just see where Mr. Obama stands.
He's never going to oppose any Arab nation, because right now, what did Morsi do today? Morsi condemned Israel. What is every other Arab nation going to do when Egypt was the only ally, the only buffer between Israel and the Arab world? The
well,
only
then he'll
buffer.
Die. Then he'll
Say
die.
It again?
He'll die. They'll do him like Kennedy.
Who, Morsi?
No, Obama.
Would
if
you believe
Obama
the Arabs
stands,
do him like
if,
Kennedy?
If Obama stands in the way of the Zionist state, he'll die. Or something will happen and he'll get punked in scandal and he'll be gone.
You really believe that?
The Israelis have a massive espionage program in our country. They run stuff. You know, everybody can say, oh, well, the Arabs, blah, 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 but the Israelis run stuff, man. Remember the movie Network? I know you
sure.
know Network. Okay,
of course.
What was the plot of Network, right? The Arabs were trying to buy television networks.
Right, trying to buy that particular ultimate network that it was based on.
And it was fear that, oh, you know, this minority was going to buy television networks to put their viewpoint across.
Right.
Well, we have a minority that owns television networks and puts their viewpoint across. And nobody says anything about it. If the television networks were owned by, I don't know, evangelical Christians, people would freak out. If they were owned by Muslims, people would freak out. But the television networks and the movie studios are all owned by Jewish people, overwhelmingly, except for Fox. And nobody says a thing. Is it not an issue that they don't represent the majority of the country?
Well, are you – okay, so with that – but see, now, see, Mike, this is where I start to get into issues with you and your beliefs on this. Again, I consider you my friend. And again, I give you full and open opportunity to express your opinion. So I hope you understand my disagreement with you is in no way sort of like a, you know, it's not an anger thing. I just have a disagreement with you here. You very much in that aspect sound Hitler-esque.
No, I sound democratic. If any group that was a distinct minority had control over the propaganda airwaves, I would have a problem with it.
But see, no, you said the propaganda airwaves. If we want to look at the propaganda airwaves, then that would say that, okay, all of these networks and movie companies are owned by Jews with the exception of Fox, right? But where
yeah.
do they lean? Where do they lean? They lean towards this liberal socialist ideology. You can't say that about the Jewish state. You can't
well,
say
yeah,
that
but,
about
but socialism is a Jewish concept.
But is that
communism is a Jewish concept?
But is that the practice of Israel? Of
it's
course not.
It's the practice of their people, and Israel.
Well,
you know,
but it's
Israel's
not the
a different
practice
kind
of
deal, man.
Well,
Israel is kind of a socialistic country.
You believe that Israel is a socialistic country?
They're most socialistic than we are. They have NHS and all that. They're an extremely liberal place.
I don't get that concept at all.
The Israelis have had homosexuals serving openly in their military for decades. They're way more liberal than we are.
I agree that they're way more liberal. When you say that we are, what are you talking about? Conservatives are entire
than,
country.
Than the U.S. is, overwhelmingly.
Most people would disagree because they believe that Israelis are warmongering totalitarians. Everybody
but they're also they're warmongering bigots, but they're also extremely liberal.
That almost To me, that almost sounds like a contradiction in terms.
Well, you're dealing with a people who believe that they are special and better than everybody else because their book
that
tells them so.
That same argument can be made about Americans who believe that they're exceptional.
But there's a difference. Our belief in our exceptionalism is not coming from a belief that some almighty guy in the sky said so. Our exceptionalism comes from a historical history of achievement.
Right.
Theirs
okay.
comes from
fair,
our
fair
book says we're special.
Fair enough. I understand what it is that you're saying wouldn't the same argument be made about American exceptionalism when Americans use the term that, you know, our rights are given to us by God, inalienable rights are given
God? I can parse that a little differently, and I'll take the God thing out of it. I will say that everybody's rights are innate. Just as being a walking, sentient human being, you have certain rights. And I chalk it up to owning your physical form. That's how I define it.
Well,
it has nothing to do with God. It has to do with you own yourself, and you can do with yourself what you want, and nobody gets to oppress
you.
But
hold on. Can you suggest that somebody like Benjamin Netanyahu, and as far as his beliefs that that the Jewish state has a right to exist, do you believe that his premise is based upon what you believe is a fairy tale, or do you believe that it's based upon what he believes is every human being has a right to exist?
No, I believe theirs is that we're Jewish, we're God's chosen people, and this land is ours, deeded to us by God.
But wait, are you telling me that that's the premise of his dealings with people like the Palestinians, Hamas, or Hezbollah?
Absolutely. They hate those people. They hate them on a racial and religious level.
Are you telling me that Hamas and Hezbollah are justified in attacking them, though?
I'm saying that Hamas and Hezbollah are basically oppressed people, and they're fighting against an oppressor. Now, the reason they're oppressed comes from a religious standpoint.
Ooh.
I don't believe in apartheid, and that's what it is. There's no city in America that come out and say, oh, well, you know, we are a purely Christian city. Only Christians are going to exist here. It doesn't happen. So, or you can have a white nation or a black nation or whatever. So how come they get to have the Jewish nation? It's not something we should support. And it's not something we get to have here. You can't have cities in America put up Christmas trees now.
Well, let me bring the guys in here. I know Dennis is definitely, it offends him in a lot of ways, and I want Dennis to understand this. Dennis, I understand that it affects you when Mike starts talking about religion because you consider yourself, I don't want to use the word pious, but you are a religious person. I don't want you to get upset at Mike because I know sometimes that you do. You know, because Dennis, I know who you are. You appreciate everyone is allowed their religion, and you don't want anybody to just besmirch your beliefs and anything. I don't think Mike does that. I think Mike expresses his opinion, and in some ways it can be considered offensive. I don't deal with that with Mike. Mike and I have a different opinion in this area, but I respect him because, look, he expresses it, and I don't think Mike feels any less of me because I'm a believer in God. Mike, is that fair to say?
No, it's just I look at it like it's the year 2012, and we have put man on the moon, and we've achieved all sorts of things, and people still live their lives by something which is unprovable. And as a man of science, I don't understand how you can live your life by something that has no basis in fact.
Right. And Dennis, you can appreciate his perspective, but you just don't want to be besmirched for it, right?
Let's put it this way. I heard this come this January 30th is the 90th anniversary of the Mathe Reifung, the Hitler ascension of power. The Führer sagt, die Juden sind unser Unglück. And this is what I've heard tonight. The Jews are our misfortune. On the other thing, he is right when he talks about Israel being a liberal society and a socialist society. And that would be surprising for you, Reese, but you have to understand, many of the Jews have come from Eastern Europe and particularly Russia, and they brought their socialism, culture with them to Israel. And that's why you have Netanyahu is Likud, is more conservative, but you also have a very, very strong labor party in Israel, and that would be considered left of the Democrats here in the United States. Would you agree?
Sure. Okay, fair enough.
And I don't see it as a religious problem as with the United States defending Israel, but as a defense commitment. And people might say it's the only democracy in the area. The thing is, to me, it's not a religious thing why Israel should exist. It is something that you have a group of people that have carved their nation literally out of the desert in 49, and it is a stable nation, and they have consistently been friends of the United States, except give you the Liberty sinking, the Liberty shooting in 1967, which I know full well. The problem is with the Muslims that they don't happen to see that the same way as the Israelis do. I stand with the Vatican in that all people have a right to exist and have their state and to live in harmony. That's what we'd like to see. But unfortunately, the reality is completely different.
But you know, I do hate to interrupt, but there was another nation who was a staunch ally of the United States and who had carved their nation out of savage territory. And we had no problem throwing them under the bus and destroying their nation because they discriminated against people and we found it distasteful.
You mean South Africa?
South Africa, thank you. South Africa was a staunch ally of the U.S., and they're done because they were discriminatory.
I have problems with that policy also. The United States, many times, as I said last week, why you cannot trust the United States many times is when you cozy up to this nation and leave your assets to America. America, when it's done with you, will leave you to the wolves. Look at the Pakistani now sitting in his country's jail for giving us bin Laden. He should have been exfiltrated.
You know, the South Africans paid off their World War II debt to us, and we still threw him under the bus. So how is what the South Africans did with apartheid any different than what the Israelis do with Israeli Arabs and Palestinians? It's not.
There is a difference. And if I can explain the difference, and the time is running out, because in America, nobody is going to come out, even in good circles, and say, we don't like the Jews. But South Africa, it was black and white. And therefore, you had a lot of people with pseudo-white guilt, in my opinion, that could say, let's destroy South Africa for the appeal so we can look better in the eyes of our black social friends.
True.
This is just an opinion of mine. I might be wrong.
Oh, I agree. But it's really shocking in America that you can't have an opinion without being tarred with Hitler and Nazi and all this.
Well,
when
I apologize. I don't mean it in the sense of calling you Hitler.
No. I don't mean that at all. But what I'm saying is, am I the only one that finds it odd that, you know, what is the Nazis perfected propaganda, the Nazis and the communists? Because they know if you can control the airwaves and skew public opinion, you can achieve what you want.
Of course.
Why is it not a problem that 2% of the population owns all the broadcast media?
But again, I think that
But is your problem with the broadcast media ownership or are you confusing that with Israel? It seems like you're blending the whole thing together.
Well, it's both. I don't like the Israelis because they're a tiny little nation that has far too much sway over world politics. They're minimal, and the Israelis basically have run U.S. foreign policy since 1948. But I also have a problem with the fact that our broadcast media is owned by one particular group of people. And I would have a problem if, like I said, if it was Baptists or evangelicals or black people or Hispanics or whoever. The broadcast media, the airwaves, are the people's airwaves, supposedly. That's the plan. But they're not owned by the people. They're owned by a tiny, tiny minority who have an agenda.
Monday,
I don't care.
Tiny minority who happen to have a crooked nose.
Guys, I promise you, Monday, we have to have an extensive conversation about this because the weekend, I'm sure, is going to bring way much more to this than meets the eye, because I want to continue this. I think we should, because I want to hear more about this opinion. It's very important that we do. There's only 30 seconds left, and we got to get out of here. But everybody, have a good weekend. Thank you for being a part of our 200th show. Be here on Monday, same bad time, same bad channel, for our 201st show. And again, we're just 50 days away from our one-year anniversary show, which I promise you is going to be bigger, bolder, and fresher. Thank you, White Mike, Dennis the Mass Menace, and, of course, Edward in Connecticut and Sally D in Massachusetts. We will see you then. This is my anthem. It always has been. We will see you on Monday. And we will continue more of this conversation about the war going on. I promise you, it's going to be an interesting conversation. You should be here for it. Have a great weekend, folks. For Reese on the Radio, Mary, Mary, why you bugging the JC, the producer. We'll see you then.
One thing we do is stay in the studio, you know. The difference between me and you is when I do an album, coming out.
Ah, stay real, never change. If a lot of suckers who run in the game, I'm repping the thing. Hard, peace, hard, no peace now. I'm hit it, hit it, shoot down, hit it, eat now. Stay real, never change. If a lot of suckers who run in the game, I'm repping the thing. Hard, peace, hard, no peace now. I'm hit it, shoot down, hit it, eat now. On the block that I'm from, late night is the hustle hour. Anything you